12 November 2008. Wajig by Carl Fitch, St. Louis Unix Users Group. We're recording.
Not to act like I was echoing what he said, but tonight we're going to be covering Wajig, and the guy who's making all the noise up here, that's Carl Fitch, that's me. And you are at the St. Louis Unix Users Group. If you were intending to go somewhere else, that's too bad. This is much more fun here. You enjoy it. Stick around. What we're going to talk about, Wajig, is basically an overview of all of this. Anybody that's familiar with the Debian package management knows you got apt-get, you got dpackage, you got deb, you got dselect, you got the sources.list, app.conf, aptitude, dpackage config, dpackage dev, appcache, appcd run, and it keeps going. All these commands that are really, really powerful. That when Debian came up with this packaging system, what else was there was pretty poor. Their main competitor, and still in a distant 15th, is RPM. And, of course, everyone understood RPM dependency hell. The other way was just getting a tar.gz of the installation and installing that, and that would put it in. And then you'd find out it didn't work because you were missing something that wasn't working, which it didn't tell you or it did tell you.
Or you try to remove it.
Yeah, then you really had a big problem trying to get rid of it. The dpackage solved a lot of problems that were really holding package management back at the time. However, it did come up with a bunch of commands that were really hard to put together to get what you want. Okay, of course, you're always going to know what is the package named after. And it says that WA means harmony and team spirit and unity in Japanese. Okay, I'm sure you searched throughout the world for a way to use Wajig together. Okay. Jig is a small machine or handy tool used to guide other tools. Very descriptive of what it does. It grabs a bunch of tools and holds them in alignment to make it easy to do the work you're trying to do. Usos ingles, por favor. It uses English. Okay, now I'm just as much a fan of RPM-URVF, GK-POV, file 1, file 2, file 5, alright? And it's very powerful, you can do a lot of things. However, there is something to be said to you say Wajig install and the package name, and it installs. Okay? Common actions have several names. What is the mantra that I've been hearing since I was that high is in computer systems, you always want to give three ways to do everything. And the main idea is what? The main idea is to make it so that somebody has some way that they can remember that works for them. Not everybody's brain works the same way. I'm up here as an example of that. So, the commands are easy to understand. It's real easy to invoke. You type Wajig. And if you want something a little harder, you can type in Wajig and the action that you want so you don't go into it. You almost get a little mini command shell in it. Let me pop out of here and let's go over to Bud here. And that is thoroughly impossible to see. So let's fix this through the magic of console, and we'll go to font, and let's grab some really humongous font here. Deck terminal. Nope, that's really too small. Luxe Mono. Okay, 19. Well, let's go 22. What the heck? Let's go for big and bold. Can anybody read that?
Yes.
Excellent day. Muy gracias. Okay. So, this is really hard because it takes both sides of your hands because the W is on the left-hand side, the A is under your pinky. backups. Did I mistype it already? No, thank God. J is underneath your index finger. I, and then the G is on the left-hand side. So you got to pack for a single typer like me. That's really hard. You hit it, and oh, gee, isn't that easy? Cool. Anybody can do that. Now, I'm not going to spell it, spoil this and let you guys think that it's real easy, because if you think it's too easy, you think you can learn it yourself and you won't have to listen to me. I can already hear the sneers from that. Okay, so let's continue on. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't that supposed to stay where I put it? Are you guys going to have to look at all these ugly slides again? Gosh darn it. Okay, documentation is available. Simply enough, just type in Wajig help, and it gives you a fairly terse the top 10 or 12 commands and a little more information. So your help is your very base level help. The next one is list commands or dash V help or commands. Any three of these, again, three ways to do anything, will bring you the same thing. If you really want to get down and learn a lot of really cool things and give some guy satisfaction for sitting there and typing all this out, type in doc or double V help, and you'll get basically a book to read from. And it's really cool. Works really good. So here is one of the great things. It does have a command history to it. So you type in a command, hit enter, do something, and then type in another couple commands. You can go up arrow. Now it's only for the current session. There's no history set. Oh, I'm supposed to be using a special lightsaber. It is case insensitive. For those people like me who can't spell or can't hit that, or who are constantly hitting the caps lock key with the little pinky, and then you look at the screen and everything's all backwards, you know, it looks like I'm some kind of super coder or something. But at any rate, the commands list, L-I-S-T, could be capital L, I-S, lowercase I-S-T. Invert it so that the S is large, it still works. It can be dashful or dashless. The great thing about it, you've got some commands in here, list, dash, cache. That could be list cache, or that could be capital list cache, or anything in between. You don't have to have the dash in there. The dash is primarily in there to just make it easier to understand what you're doing. I mean, when you're spitting out a bunch of commands, it does kind of separate what it is you were doing. It does have tab completion. So in this particular instance, you have a list immediately followed by a tab, just like you do on a console, and it lists out all the possible things that you can use to complete it. It's not super duper like the Debian, what we were talking about last year, where you can, Debian has a little thing in there that will command completion, where it has commonly used commands for packages like tar. You can hit dash Z and then it'll start helping you complete stuff. It's not quite that comprehensive, but it is great for people like me who, I think it's list something, it's, you know. Anyhow, you have to be scatterbrained to understand. I understand very well. I threw this real close into the slides because a lot of these I don't use a whole lot of, so I figured right now I'd put you to sleep before you got to see some of my really big mistakes. We have auto clean, auto download, auto install, auto remove, and auto alts. Basically, auto means just do it. Yeah?
Can you use a space instead of a dash to get that?
I don't believe so. I've not tried it, but they've got it's so universal that may be true. We may try that. Space instead of a dash. I think it is a typical Unix utility that it is space delimited. So I think that would probably confuse it. I know I would be just lost. So auto clean, and basically these are the same things that you would go with a particular Debian package. So auto clean, Debian has an auto clean, so it basically does the same thing. Goes in and cleans up those packages you don't need anymore. For you, for those of you that don't know, Debian keeps in /var all the packages that you that you install. They keep the .deb files in there until you tell it to get rid of it. So AutoClean gets rid of that and a couple other things. Auto-download allows you to just say, auto-download this stuff, don't install it, but get it down so I can get it. Auto-install means, don't ask me, I told you I wanted it to install it now, arr! So basically, answer's dash yes. Auto-remove, okay, that's a little braver than I can handle. So I'm one of those guys that learned early about the RM-RF, and I'll kill the guy that showed that to me. No, I'm kidding. Auto alts means alternatives, and Debian is just the three steps. You have the stable, which right now is etch. You have the, help me out here guys, testing, which is Lenny, and then you have the fear for your lives, which is Sid. There we go. What's the real name for Sid?
Sid.
Yeah, I know, like, but you know, like Edge is stable, and Lenny is testing. Sid is.
Sid's name never changes.
Okay, so Sid is Sid.
Yeah. He's so always
just leave it at. Don't mess with me unless you work for NFS or something.
Also have
okay, RPMs and conversions. Cool. I like this. You, as part of the command, you can take, if you have an RPM that you pulled down, it does basically uses Alien. Okay, I'm gonna unabashedly, this script does not do all these magic things itself. It calls these other programs, and when it can't find it, it conveniently says, I can't find this, you should install it before you do this. Very nice about that. RPM install, so you can directly install an RPM on your Debian system. And you can also change RPM to dev, which is the same as, I should put those two together. I just spaced it so you wouldn't notice that they're both actually the same thing. It's just for people like me who can't spell the number two. Okay, so those three allow you to work with RPMs. Export package, which is cool. Now you can do it with the regular Debian packages and stuff, and with a bunch of command line switches and all the idea. The idea here is that you go and pull down a package, get it the way you want it, with the conf files that you want it, things, you know, set the way you want it. You can use this to package it back up so that you can put it on another computer, built the same way as you did on that one. So it saves your current configuration files. In other words, whatever's in that package when you install it, it will go get it off the computer and put it in that package that you specify. So a great way to customize something and move it a bunch of different servers. Here we have source. Of course, you have build, and build depends. Build basically, get down source packages and build that package for me. Build depends means, okay, I want to build this package, pull down everything it takes to build this package and install it, including the dependencies. Very, like I said, useless in bliss. And this is one of the things that just drives me crazy. Get on a new Debian, especially, my theory is, you get the net install, you put it in the computer, you fire it up, you do a net install with bare minimum to get that thing up and running, and then you start working with whatever it is you're going to use that computer for, so that you only have what it is you need, which is a great way to make a really clean, small, fast machine that doesn't have as many vulnerabilities. I'm sure most everybody here has lived through the Red Hats 4, 5, 6, 7, where you install them, and you did a netstat, and the netstat went off three screens because somewhere down in the bottom was your neighbor's kitchen sink because it installed everything. So that's with the Debians, doing the net install, you don't have to pull all the packages down that you don't need. You just do the net install and then add in after it comes back up what you need. So you can use these, rich package, search, find file, locate, and fine package. And some of them, what you have to do is you have to tell them, I have this file in this particular place. Okay? I have a file in / user bin, user local bin, package name, or the name of the program that you want to run. Okay? So that will be in there. You do which package, or find package, find file, and it tells you where they are, and then you can use that to find out what package it came from. Always a pain trying to figure out what package you want. Yes, sir?
I'm confused. Are these things you're talking about that are in Wajik?
What, everything I've talked about is in Wajik. I haven't the capacity to talk about anything else tonight. Mm-hmm. My head is in one place. Jeff?
So these commands are used to query what file that's already installed belongs to a package?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to query the basically apps, dash cache, search, do those different things to come up with the answer. They're going to query the repositories as to and look through the package and find out what package has this, whatever you put in there. And you can come close. So you can do a search for LS, and it just scrolls off the screen with all the different things and different possibilities that it could be. So very nice. And you have to, they don't all work the same. I'm no expert at it yet. I've been using it for about 3 weeks now, ever since I found it. I love it. And you have to kind of look at the documentation to be sure exactly which one you want for what you've got to do. But it's so much easier than trying to figure out which hidden app command will give you this information. And the nice thing is you can do it on the command line. You don't have to do it in WASIX itself. You can do it in the command line, put it through grep, get rid of the extraneous fluff that it puts out on it. Package installs. Okay. Of course, you do the regular install, apt-get install. This WASIX is not going to do it any easier for you, except that you don't have to put the dash in, you know. And it is one letter short, so it's a little easier to type than apt-get. So WASIX install, and then the package that you want to install. It will make an attempt. It will make an attempt to find the closest package to what you specified. I think the later versions of apt-get do that also, if I'm correct. Now, when you list up a package, I gotta talk faster, guys, I'm running out of time. When you list up a package, a lot of times they'll give you a list of recommended packages or suggested packages. You know, they may have two separate levels. And those aren't installed unless you go back and specify them. With this, you can do an install R for the recommended, or the install S for the suggested. And if you really have a lot of time and a great big whole lot of disk space, you can do install RS, and you'll just install stuff forever. Because it'll install all those recommended and suggested stuff. As long as you got enough, it's easier, just pull down the repository. So I would say I would not recommend doing this. It brings down a lot of stuff. Ask me how I know. Control C does stop it. I did find that out. Yes?
What's the relation to this, to stuff on the left of the screen and stuff on the right of the screen?
The stuff on the right of the screen wouldn't display because it was underneath the edge of the projector. I knew that they were going to have this projector here. Mine would display the whole thing and up and down the aisle. No, I'm sorry. It's just there was enough here to put on both sides of the screens.
It's a continuation of the list. Second.
Yeah.
Oh,
then that's too easy to say.
Because it's not installed versus fixed missing.
That's a good point. I should have made that distinction.
Column two. Continuation.
Did fixed missing get capitalized for some reason?
I mentioned that earlier, and I think you weren't here yet. The great thing about this is it's made for people like me who can't spell, or who can't type and can't spell, so we've really got a disaster. Fixed missing could be just the way it is. It could be fixed missing without the dash. It could be dash or dashless or dashful. It could be any combination of upper and lower case. So it's case insensitive, and the dash is not required.
It's starting to sound like Windows.
Look at the target audience, you know? So, actually, the great thing is it makes it easier to remember what you're doing. Now, all of these have to do with package installs, and I'm not going to go down through every one of them because I don't have the time. I wanted to put this up on the website and also to have this as a quick reference for myself so that I can say, okay, I need to install this. What's the quickest way to do this? Then I figured out the help file works so much better. Okay, package information. And again, there should be like a stripe across here. Show package information. Show what comes in the package. Contents. What's in the package. Detail, which goes into much larger detail, not just the files, but you can get all kinds of information, the scripts and so forth. Gets very detailed in there. Detail new. The new means new packages. So you can give me a detail of all the new packages that you say I should be, that the disk or upgrade tells me I should get. And find file, that tells you where the file would be in that particular application. Well, I think we've covered that before. Yes?
Is this product front-end all the other packages?
Absolutely.
Or does it do the work itself?
It was designed for people like me. It basically requires that those packages be there.
It's a wrapper.
It's a wrapper,
it's
yes.
Okay, so it front-ends everything. It doesn't really do a lot. If you know something that it does...
Then you could find the appropriate Debian package command to do it.
So that means that apt-get or the package manager would know what this has done when it's done doing it.
Correct. It works like through the package. Yeah, good point. I didn't real think about that, but that is a good point. Here's the thing, that if you're in KDE or GNOME, I'm not going to get in those wars, but if you're neither one, you're probably going to pull up Adept, or you're going to pull up...
Synaptic. Synaptic?
Synaptic, and have really nice GUI. It would probably be a little faster and easier to use than this. This basically gives you that kind of functionality at the command line without a whole lot of mess and without having to memorize all this stuff. So all of this stuff you can go and, Madison, which is pretty cool. That was something I learned about this afternoon. For those of you who don't know about Madison, join the club. I just found out about it myself, only because I was putting this together. Madison is a way to list a package the way it would be listed in the repository. Mm. I believe Madison is actually a repository tool for Debian, which I didn't know that they had. Okay. You can even list the non-free things. And you can also give the... We just talked about that. The levels. Stable.
Stable and testing.
Yes, and then there's the, I'm trying to think, there is a thing for SID, and I can't think of what it named. But, show this package in stable, show package name in testing, detail, so you can actually see the differences between stable and testing, and don't touch this unless you're lib Debian level SID. There we go. All right, maintenance. All the normal maintenance things, of course. Clean, this is where you do update, upgrade. I was actually kind of wishing that I tried this afternoon. You know, a lot of times, like when I'm going on to update the Slug servers, I've already done it on one, and I know I just wanted to do it. I was really hoping, but you can't do this. You can't put WSJG update space upgrade. It only does one command at a time. It would be nice if they had. I'm not quite sure whether daily upgrade does that. I was going to look into that and ran out of time this afternoon. Again, download, file install, find package, hold package, so you can hold it back. I don't want you to install, you know, the latest version of this package. Yeah.
Does it have a built-in kind of a help file? So if you say WYSIWYG something, what does file download do?
Yes, it does. In fact, I'll probably cover that as soon as I get to it. Some of it, other than help, puts a whole couple screenfuls of stuff up. So I was going to wait till after I was done going through this and then go through those.
Like WYSIWYG help file download?
Exactly. Exactly. Yes?
I think I know the answer, but what's the difference between upgrade and update?
Okay. In Debian, you go and you do update, apt-get, update, and that pulls the latest revisions of everything, the latest headers and so forth.
So that you're called?
It updates your repository list. It doesn't pull down any packages, just simply what is the latest and what depends on what. And then, so first you do an apt-get update, then you do an apt-get upgrade. Upgrade then pulls down the packages and installs them. So you can do an update and say, and go through and pick your packages that you want to do, or you can go straight to doing an update and then do an upgrade, and it just updates everything that's on your system that there's a newer version of.
Just upgrade, probably.
Dist upgrade supposedly uses a different algorithm to provide, I forget, some fancy thing. It generally does a better job of it. If upgrade doesn't work, then you do dist upgrade, and a lot of times packages that are held back on a regular upgrade, because it will hold back packages where there may be a problem, it does a little further checking and working to bring the more current packages in. So dist upgrade is the way to go if upgrade doesn't bring it in. Typically I've found that it doesn't cause the problems, but I have found overriding upgrade does cause problems. So basically, let me get going a little further here. List, it's getting bigger and bigger. Okay. Of course, list alts. Again, you can kind of see that this is very English. All of these, list. This list is the cache. This list, commands. This list, the daemons, which I haven't reached covered yet, but we will here in a slide or two. List files, list orphans to upgrade, list scripts. So you can see a lot of information about the system, so you can make a better choice of what you want to do with it. Cleaning up orphans, seeing what was orphaned. List installed, which you can't see here because it's at the bottom of the projector. But list up installed, we're going to cover a very cool thing to do with that here in just a minute or two. Remove packages. Purge, which is if you use IMAP, you know, you delete something and it doesn't really go away. You still got some stuff in there, the emails there. Well, same way with apt-get, you remove a package, it removes the installation of the package, it doesn't remove the package. You still have the package on your computer. So you do a purge, and the purge then simply goes in and gets rid of the package from your cache. You do the same thing with clean.
Well, I think
clean.
The main thing is it removes the configuration files.
There we go. That's
you have a lot of configuration files in Etsy. Just say remove, it does not get rid of those.
Right. It deletes the application, but not the config
files.
Everybody hear that? Basically, he's saying that when you do an apt-get remove a package, it removes the programs, the binaries, but it doesn't remove the configuration files. So the purge would get rid of that apt-get clean or something like that is what you need to go, is the, I think, the equivalent command. File remove, list log, remove depends, remove orphans, and show remove. They all mean exactly what they say. Now, if you do the help file, it gets you a long thing that goes into all kinds of detail on it, but most of the time, that's what I love about this, because it does exactly what it says. Well, if you read it right. But for the idea, you can use English and understand what it's doing. So, SU and sudo. This is usable by any user. It will invoke SU or sudo, whichever is available. It will invoke sudo first, and if sudo is not available, it will invoke SU, which means that you can have a regular user go ahead and do this maintenance and actually have him do the upgrades and stuff through using sudo, or if you feel that he's trustworthy enough, with the root password using SU. And of course, with Debian, is not as, I don't know how to say this, is not as lazy as Red Hat. Me, I had a real hard time when I went to Debian from Red Hat, and I sat there and put service Apache start, and it said command not found, and I was lost. I couldn't get Apache started. A couple of years, I guess.
Did you try HTTPD?
Well, no. I mean, the moral of the story is that with Debian, you got to go to /etc/init.d/daemon name and then start, stop, what is status, whatever. With WSJIG, and I don't really know why this has to do with package management, but it's a cool thing to have, because WSJIG is a whole lot easier to spell than all of this. WSJIG, reload, daemon name. Restart, daemon name. Start, stop. List daemons that you can activate with WSJIG. So, a little bit of extra functionality that doesn't... Yeah?
Backwards as far as the start being not being done. Start and stop. In other words...
We'll look it up in the help file. I thought this went first. But I think a lot of things, and my wife tells me different. Nobody ever has that problem, do you? And checks. Very cool. Very cool. Integrity. You know what this does? This goes in to your system, and you tell it what you want it to check, or you just tell it integrity, and it checks the whole flipping system. And it goes in, and it compares the files that are on the disk to the MD5 sounds in the package. So when little Johnny Hacker gets in your system and replaces LS with this custom version that stores your passwords or whatever, you can go in there and use integrity, have it pipe it to a file, and you look at it, and you're going to get a lot of positives on the .conf files, because you install stuff, what's the first thing you do? You're going to mess with the .conf file, but you're not going to mess with the binaries. So it'll compare your binaries against... what they should have been in the dev packages that you have installed. Very nice way to check to find out what's been messed with. Unless there's, they've got that magic way of, I know there's some way of making MD5 some little file the same as the original, but that would be really great if they knew exactly what version of core utils that you have, which is probably pretty impossible. Verify, basically the same thing. Bug tells you bugs on a package, so you can do WSJIG bug and the package name, and it'll give you the list of bugs for that package, the current list of bugs, so you can see, oh, well, this package is doing this. I can go and see what the bug list is, if that's something that hasn't been reported. Quick way to check it. Change log, which reads the change log from the Debian package. Okay. List files, we were talking about this earlier. Here's a very quick thing. You've got a Debian machine and you want to make another one just the same. You just do a real quick WSJIG list files and pipe it over to a file. Okay? Grab that file, put it on the other machine, and go WSJIG file install and give it that file name, and it'll sit there and install every one of those packages out of that file that you created, and you'll end up with a Debian machine that has the same exact package match as the original one. You still got to go in there and fiddle with the .conf files, and you know, unless you did your package create or whatever it is. I forget. I have to look at the help on there firsthand. Okay, GJ? I'm not really sure why this is cool. Somebody spent a lot of really good time. Okay, it's basically the same as you can do a when you're compiling the kernel, you can do an update to update it, or you can do an xconfig. Is that what it is? Somebody help me out here. It's been a while since I've done a kernel. Do the xconfig, and it puts this box where you can click on things and click on whether you want it to be a module or installed or not there. What is that?
It's a GNOME interface.
Yeah, it's part of the kernel package. But it gives you the same thing as that. Basically, it's a box with all the commands, and you click on it and then type in the rest of the command. Somebody spent a lot of time. It really looks good, but I don't know how much. You're going to be running in the next Windows anyway, in a GNOME, because it uses GTK.
So this essentially is a graphical version of WASG,
which to me is harder to use than Synaptic or Adept anyway. If I'm in a graphical environment, I'll probably run one of those first.
Sounds like an attempted commando that might not have made it.
Yeah, I mean you can play with it and see what you like, you know. A couple of credits, nowhere near enough. I had to leave for an appointment this afternoon. There should be 4 or 5, and I'll probably add those before I put them up on the web page.
Tugware has an E in it. Oh, it's double typed. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tugware is a pretty cool place to go and get information on this and a lot of other sites. So at this point, click to edit, exit presentation. So let's do a couple quick things because I am out of time. And Stan is standing over there because he's trying to tell me to get off the stage. So we'll just do a couple of quick things here.
Keep going. You're doing great.
Yeah, okay. Jig, again, for those that walked in, you can invoke it one of two ways. You can use WASG, which starts up that command line client, gives you some history, current only, gives you tab completion, and a couple other things. The first thing that you want to do is type in help. Did we lose connection?
Use the mouse.
Yeah, I thought. I think we lost connection to Bud. Let me see what happened here. I apologize. I'm teaching you all about Debian stuff on a SUSE computer, so I know that wasn't the best way to do it. But
you didn't have a VMware machine loaded into it.
I should. You know. Mm-hmm. That would have taken some intelligence.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Actually, I think that's because he was probably looking like this. See if I have I have Mandrake, UBCD, NexRadix, which is Debian, but I don't have a WASG on that. So I should have done that. I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's see if we can get another connection to Bud.
Virtual machines, you can do anything.
Temporary failure in name resolution. Yeah, we lost our connection. Modem doesn't show. Okay, it just hung up. That was one thing about those who missed the NexRadix meeting is Tony's distribution. I took my phone card out, put it in his computer, and had a neat little thing, clicked on it, and it just worked.
Mm.
Really cool thing. One of these days I'm going to... Okay, so we got name resolution is good. But are we getting anywhere? There we go. Phone cards are really great when you're out in the middle of nowhere, but they don't work very well in basements. And we're kind of locked in here, so it's not real fit, real close. So, again, you can either WASG or WASG install or whatever it is, WASG help. So let's just go into WASG here.
Can you reset the box?
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. That's right. I can see it just fine. Let's see, what do we do? Luxy Mono, 20 or something like that?
20.
Yeah, 20. Okay, so you see the jig here. The first thing, the most simplest thing is help. H-E-L-P.
Nope.
Now you know why I like something that doesn't demand typing precision. Okay. Common jig commands. Is that the whole thing? Did I? Excuse me a second here. Okay. It is the whole thing. All right. Okay. Common jig commands. And this gives you the ones that you're going to use the most. I mean, new upgrades, install, remove, to upgrade, so on and so forth. Now, the next level is list commands. And you notice how it's got the capital list dash commands. Again, like I said, you can just do list commands, make it dashless, and then make it limp by making it lowercase. DS. And boom. And you can see three or four pages of stuff. Now you can do it at the command line, pump it to less, so you can search, or you can just hit the page up. And let's go. You see there's a lot of stuff in there. The nice thing is that it does give you, what was the one that we were asking about before? Somebody asked me, does it? All right, never mind. Auto install. Perform an install without asking questions, not interactive. I mean, you know, auto install, okay. That's why I like it. So English, a lot of times you don't need to look in here for it. Daily. Perform an update. All right, there we go. That was the question. That was my question. Daily dash upgrade, perform an update, and then a disk upgrade. So you're right. You could go straight to disk upgrade. So that would be the thing to do, like when we get the thing on Bud or Bud Light, and just simply run that. Maybe we'll do that to see what it looks like. Describe. So does everybody get the idea that there's a lot of help here? It is fairly easy to do.
Now, if you say help, that particular command, you get even greater.
Let's try it. And that was daily upgrade. Mm-hmm. Oops. And of course, command line completion.
Here's a daily update. Okay.
Well, it worked earlier. It's only because you guys are watching. Up daily upgrade. GRAD. Come on!
It's pretty sensitive, Carlos.
That should work.
That's good.
See, that's what's so good about it. It don't care how bad you type. As long as you get it close. Okay, so no, it does not do that. So let's go see how far we go into dock. And you can see, that's, like I said, that's almost a book. Lots of information in there. So what was the command again? Daily dash upgrade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Password. See,
since the
only thing available in here is SU. What?
You're on Bud now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it blows up, I can't blame it on Mike. Okay. Oh, God, I didn't want to do that on this machine.
No. That's okay, because it's not going to do it.
There you go. See? Authentication failure. I know that I can't type. It failed because I didn't put the command in correctly. I'm not going to bore you with my bad type. But
what's this written in?
Do what?
What is this written in?
Python.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see the commands.py, wajig.py. So it's really cool. It brought to me, it solidifies the Debian package system on the command line. They've always had some good stuff, such as app, Synaptic and Adept, to do this stuff with for the GUI, but on the command line, you really had to reach around and grope. You know, for me, I think it's great. And it is on, it's on Bud. I was going to do an install on Bud Lite in front of you, just to prove that I can screw anything up. But at any rate, no, I would do that later on. Are there any other questions? Have I confused everyone enough? Cool. That's good when there's no questions. Well, it's bad, isn't it? All right, okay, great. My time's up. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. That was Carl Fitch, our president of our organization, our fearless leader and frequent presenter, tutorialist, and also chair of the St. Charles Lug, which, by the way, by means of a small presentation here, we're talking the other night, as Carl mentioned, at the last St. Charles Lug meeting. He was hosting a presentation on the NextRad, Carl?
Yes.
And
NextRad.
Yet another distro, huh? Another distro, eh? So, yada.
Yada, yada.
As in, okay. Right? The Seinfeld episode, yada, yada, yada. So, the appropriate presentation for Carl is the official yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Ooh. Lipstick. I perspire in that.
So Carl is now an official Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada. Okay, you are at the St. Louis, the monthly general meeting of the St. Louis Unix Users Group. So if you expect to be somewhere else, once again, you've been confused. So we do the Oreo cookie meeting. By the way, does anyone who is new to our meetings see Stan, wave Stan, at break, just so he has some idea where he came from, how he found out about our group. He's only just curious. So this is the Oreo cookie thing. So we do the good stuff in the middle of the meeting. We do the girl in front. We're going to do the announcements, the general questions and answers, and we'll have a short break, and then we'll have our main presentation for the evening. So by way of announcements, anyone have any announcements? Carl.
First one I announced.
Hey, Stan?
Actually,
is this your machine?
Carl's.
I recently had a high school buddy of mine who is fervently trying to build a biofuel company. His idea is tired of sending money overseas. If they're going to send it anywhere, send it his way. No, I'm kidding. He really wasn't going to build the company. He just has figured out how to do it and was putting together a company to do it. And then he was going to retire. His name is Lynn Johnson. He's from St. Charles County. He did a publicity flight last month into this month, from California to Kitty Hawk.
Cool.
He built his own plane, designed it, or built his own plane, modified it to work on butanol, which is what his process, using the steam water from radioactive plants, nuclear plants, to provide energy to pump the water into the desert and use algae to create butanol, and the purified water then could be used in the local desert community to help them live. That particular algae requires a high saline concentration water, which they would create from the seawater being pumped from the nuclear plants.
And the algae purifies the water?
No,
while producing
evaporation would purify it. The heated seawater would be put into large reservoirs, which would have water collection. The algae, they have to collect the butanol. Mm-hmm. Part of the purification is that the water condenses at a lower temperature than the butanol.
So it's a refinery.
Right. A seawater refinery that makes our own fuel at the same time. Yeah.
Do you know if he has a website?
Yes, it is. It is looklocal.org.
Now, butanol is going to have a higher energy content than ethanol, isn't it, per gram?
Higher energy content. However, it is meant, its point of vaporization is higher.
Oh.
So that, you generally need an accelerant to get it up to temperature. At any rate, Lynn has been pursuing this for about 5 years. He built this beautiful spaceship. Anybody know what a COSY is? Scaled composites or Gutan? Reach for the outer space first time? Okay. COSY is a design by Brett Gutan. Four-place passenger plane. Well, really it's more like 2.5 because that 2 seats and that will not fit 6 foot adults. Anyhow, he flew the plane from California to Kitty Hawks successfully. At that point, he went back to Avgas. He came through St. Charles last week, which was a mistake on his part. He did not get to Texas before the storms went through southern Missouri. Near Osceola, he encountered 75 mile an hour or greater winds, knocked him around pretty good. During that knocking around, he believes he hit the air brake switch, which is an electric switch. It blocked the airflow, and he did not notice. He was trying to keep the plane from going in the direction he wanted to go. The engine overheated. He had to shut it down and do a dead stick landing. The airport where he tried to land was, and Mr. Christian is probably telling you more about this, was listed as finished. Okay. It was in the GPS, it said that the surface finished, which he took to meant it was paved. Well, finished meant that they had grass growing and it was cut.
The grass was cut.
Right. So they also very conveniently put what looked to be a road beside the grass way. So he tried, since he was dead stick, he came over to see all the trees, saw the dirt, and tried to land on it, and knew that it wasn't, there was a hangar halfway down. So I went into the grass, and COSY is not built for grass runways. And it was too short a runway for him to be able to land, especially with 60 and 70 mile an hour crosswinds. He did manage to get the machine on the ground. It did not stop by the end of the runway, hit the ditch, flipped, and took off the entire front of the plane. He ended up waking up, hanging up underneath the plane. If you look at the plane, like he referred to it, he says that dead man, that's not my plane, a dead man is in that plane. Where his feet were did not exist anymore. Miraculous landing, he did survive. They airlifted him to Springfield and did emergency surgery, three broken bones in his neck and his back. And I just came back from there yesterday. He was feeling very good that he could lift his arms and touch his fingers with his thumb. So, very positive attitude.
How are his legs?
I'm sorry?
How are his legs?
He can slightly move one. The other one, he says, belongs to someone else. It's just there to tease him. But knowing Lynn, that won't be that way for long. If anyone, I'll keep everyone posted, but I'd kind of like to help him along because he had put everything into his business. So if anyone has anything to help, let me know. He should be here. He is a veteran and will be probably doing his rehab for 3 to 4 months in Jefferson Barracks in a couple of weeks. We need to get well enough to move. So please go to Look Local. Tell people about it. Let's get people enthused. I know gas is $1.85 a gallon, but they've already proved that it won't stay there for long.
Mm-hmm. It's because nobody can afford. If people don't have jobs, they're not going to be
if
buying one.
Gas, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's have the jobs and the gas and the fuel all done here. And this plan will do it. Okay. Lynn is also one other thing. Lynn, if you ever go to the Pearl.org page, the Pearl organization page, You'll see they have a page called Contributors. Now, I know Perl has been around for a long time, and there's probably thousands of people who have contributed to Perl Code, so the people that are on there is only like a page and a half of people. Yeah. So those people that are on there are probably people who are single line of people who are probably contributing a whole lot of code, and you'll find his name there. Yeah. So he's an open source person from way back.
And we all know it should be a commercial for Apple, but in the crashed airplane was his laptop Macintosh, which looked like
a W, a MacBook Pro that's bent like this. Okay, survived a 120 mile an hour crash, almost as well as he did. But thanks to Database Solutions in Springfield, we took the laptop over there because we turned it on. Pushed the button, we could hear the Mac sound come up. We took it over there and they hooked it up to a monitor. Sure enough, it came up. The keyboard works, the mouse pad works. The only thing that doesn't work is the display.
Wow.
And I brought a display down with me, so.
Oh, my.
I mean, they showed us how to turn the thing on with the Mac. If you push, turn it on, close the lid with the monitor, connect it up. And power, you're going to have power. It will go to the monitor exclusively.
An iMac?
No, it's a MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro?
Right.
The big brother.
When it crashes the right way.
Yeah, it crashes. Crashes gracefully. Yeah.
It screams in pieces. So he's trying to get a movie of that to Apple and say, hey guys, help me out with here a little bit.
Okay.
There are even other announcements. In February is the annual elections for this group, so consider running for something. I think Stan has a quick explanation of what's been happening on the calendar page of the website.
Things happen every day of the month. There you go. In November, there will not be a St. Charles Love meeting.
They will be open if you want to go there for Thanksgiving dinner. Right. I won't be there.
Right. We had the room reserved for that day. But
Thanksgiving day.
Right. They put us down on the wrong day because they thought Thanksgiving was the week before. Anyway.
My wife is patient, but she has limits.
It's a little washed out, but is everyone here familiar with our new calendar, Google Calendar? Anyone not familiar with it? Okay, if you go to the SLUG web page on the front, it says we've got a calendar. You click the link and it brings you here. It's a little washed out on this projector, but let's see. Tonight is this meeting. If you're not here, you're probably at the UMSL Microsoft freebie class, whatever. I kind of mark the items as canceled if they're canceled. I plan on doing a presentation maybe next month on the Google Calendar, so I can instruct Gary and Carl and Craig, if he shows up, how to use it, because they're on a list to do the maintenance. So if I get run over by that big truck that's coming around the corner, that they'll know how to do it.
What the nice thing about this is that it is.
It's on Google.
It's on public.
Public.
It's public, so you can add it to your own calendar.
Right.
Your own Google calendar.
If you scroll down to the bottom. I hate this mouse. How do you do that here? Okay, it's got these little funky things right here. You click on those. The HTML gives you this page right here without the headers and footers and all that kind of stuff. So you, a little bit larger. This thing, iCal, you can pull the iCal data down and run it on calendar or whatever iCal compatible calendaring program you've got, supposedly.
Most phones are iCal compatible, right, such as an iPhone.
Have you tried it yet?
I have not done it, but iPhone is iCal.
I've compatible. Tried this with the KDE calendar product, and it works. I got it to work with the Lightning add-on to Thunderbird, which works quite well. I could not get it to do with Evolution, primarily because I've never used Evolution for anything, and I'm not real sure what's going on there. Plus, I have a couple, I'm running on Fedora 8, so everything's not current or whatever. But the Lightning add-on features are going to be incorporated into version 3 of Thunderbird. So, nothing like feature creep. And this XML thing is kind of a subscription link. Kind of gives you a, oh, what do you call it? The
RSS
feed. Yes. Kind of deal. So it's kind of neat, weird, and wonderful kind of thing. So, anyway, in addition to the weekly announced thing that goes out, we maintain this calendar. And if there's a snowstorm or something, go to the website first before you take off and come here, because if I found out this meeting's being canceled or any meeting's being canceled, this gets updated before anything else, before I send out an email. Okay? If Carl was doing it, he might send out the email. If Gary was doing it, he'd probably try to send out the announce thing, but then not know how to do that because he hasn't gone to my little one-on-one class yet. He's on the list. He just doesn't know how to do it yet. Mike, Stu, okay. That's all I had to say.
I have a question. If a recruiter calls me looking for people, how do we present their needs to the group?
You can
post something, just prefix the subject line with job.
Yeah.
That's all we ask.
Okay. And please remember that we do have a couple of recruiters that support this organization. Please go to our supporters page and speak to them first. If you're looking for work, they support us so that they can find out about you.
Mm-hmm.
They think that we're valuable enough to support us. SysLogics is one. Did I say that right? I never say that name.
SysLogistics.
I just opened an ad accidentally.
Raybar is one of our sponsors. They allow us to use this room. Yay! We have a couple others. SPS, that's a new one. I don't know how they go by. But S3, they've been sponsoring us for a while. And, of course, we've got a couple other area sponsorships, computers and things, EPC, hardware, Great Bar for a wonderful room here, and Historian actually provides.
Hosts our web server, Bud Light, Ultra, and Bush.
Okay. I said too much.
Let's see. Q&A. How many people have questions? Just a quick show of hands, just so I've got an idea of how many we got going here. Okay, here.
I have a hard drive that I have a number of versions of CentOS, Fedora, SUSE, Ubuntu. They all work fine. I use DD, copy that hard disk to a second identical hard drive. Everything works fine except the SUSE and all of it. It's all on the logical volume manager. The SUSE, when it tries to boot, goes through boot manager, when it tries to boot, gets to the part where it tries to do an FSCK, and it says, boop, your partition isn't that. I have no idea what's going on. My thought is DD.
UUID?
You what?
UUID?
No, it's the DD copy, so it should be. I thought
the DD should write the metadata over.
So it should be identical.
Yeah.
And I've done the same thing on a different pair of hard drives. So it's, you know, it does the same thing. Only SUSE does not work. All the other OSs work.
When you say it does not work, it won't boot at all, or what?
It starts booting up. It goes through the boot manager, through REL, and it starts going through the startup of SUSE. You get the log on the screen that comes up as it starts loading, and then it chokes when it gets to the part that it does an FSCK on the file system. It says that file system doesn't exist.
Okay. I don't know the answer to this, but I will offer as to what I would do in this instance is It's obviously looking for the file system to check by looking in FSTAB. And I would mount the SUSE root, look at the FSTAB, and see how it identifies the driver. I don't know what you should look for, but I would look for some kind of anomaly there. I would think that if you did a DD, they ought to be dead nuts the same.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to see what it says in FSTAB, and does it give you the specific mount point or that it's looking for?
Now, I've seen this error, I've searched on the error message, and it comes up that it says your one of the tables, not the fan table, but that's hosed.
Now, the second hard drive, are you?
Do you have both do you have both hard drives mounted at the same time?
No.
Are they in the same physical machine? Are they connected?
No.
Okay, so you took a you cloned your hard drive and then you put it into a new tower, new motherboard.
Yeah. No. I take the second hard drive is that hard. I DD it from my laptop. It's from my laptop.
Okay.
Do that one. I take the second one and swap it with the one I had on the laptop.
So effectively, it should see no difference.
Same.
So the hardware is the same for both drives.
Yes.
Would you do me a favor and post that up and discuss? I wouldn't mind watching it because that may be something I do that quite regularly. I think that might be something I need to watch out for.
Gary, are you still unable to post to discuss?
I haven't tried.
Okay. If you can't, just send it direct to Carl and he'll repost it.
Okay.
Gary's got a problem with the email provider. It's some screwy thing. He just can't reply to discuss or some on one of his accounts.
Let's see. Another question. Does anybody use Microsoft Home Office to do backups across the internet? Not Microsoft Home Server. Nope. Okay. Other questions?
How many people are going to Malone's?
How many people are going to Malone's?
Are you back to them?
Are we back to Malone's?
No.
Oh, okay. That's another question. Are we going to Malone's or are we going to
Ozzy's?
Unofficially, of course.
Call for a vote.
All for Malone's, raise your hand. All for Ozzy's, raise your hand.
Nobody wants to. Okay, so we're going back to Ozzy's.
Okay. How many people are going to? How many people might be found at Ozzy's after this meeting?
Yeah. I don't know that we need to call them like we do Malone's because they stay open pretty late.
Okay.
At least we'll find out. Get there and they won't serve us.
All right. Although last time we did get that room reserved, so. Okay. We are way, way, way late, but take a few minutes, take a break, and when you come back, Rich Seibel will be talking about booting PC style, so come back soon.